We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
You, Rob, are you like a Microsoft school? Or are you like a Google product school?
We are all three, and the third not mentioned is Apple. So
yeah,
it's a lot. So one of the things that is a big question, I'll try to make it quick, that kids are not learning how to use Microsoft anymore, and they're going off to college, not because everybody just uses Google for everything. So part of what I do and part of my job, even for middle school, is kind of what we call it as being multi-digital lingual or some version of that, where kids know how to use Microsoft, they know how to use Google, but they also know how to use a Windows or Chromebook and an Apple computer. What we're trying to have kids do is when they go off to college or in the job market, they are not limited by what computer they're going to be using. So that's one of our school's initiatives.
Well, that's smart, because I've noticed in the library setting, like when kids come in to do like projects on the like high school age kids, sometimes even people in college, like, you know, and you're 18 years old, you've been using a tablet since you were six. Yeah. You know, like there's a lot of people, they are savvy with how to use like TikTok and how to make videos and stuff, but they don't know shit about how to use a keyboard and mouse. Like they can't figure out how to do that because they've like grown up completely on tablets.
And the other thing kids really don't understand is when something's downloaded, where it is, and the difference between, you just said this, the difference between something being stored on the cloud and actually being like on the hard drive. I try to give them the comparison of a sticker. So let's say you get a sticker, and when you download something, you just put a sticker on the hard drive, and that's where it is. It's not up here. You put a sticker here, and that's, I don't know how to describe it. It's such an abstract concept, especially if you have kids with learning disabilities or autism, and they need something very concrete. It's difficult to explain something that's kind of this abstract concept. So,
well, and I feel like the three of us are part of a generation where we grew up without it. We had to learn it all. And like, so we can straddle this weird thing. Cause I'm like so oftentimes pressed into like weird situations where we have like younger, like half the employees are younger than me. And there's still like some that are older than me, but I'm like, now I've like crossed the threshold and I'm like among the older people now, but there's like so many people like, the older folks, like they do not get the cloud storage thing. They like don't know where their files actually are. And then the younger people, they like don't even know how to use Microsoft Word. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Not that that's like really all that important, but you know, in the business setting, in a workplace setting, you're going to have to learn how to use a spreadsheet.
And, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, it does the same thing, but we tell kids it's kind of another comparison we use when we tell them, when you're using like Google Sheets versus Microsoft Excel, right? We tell the kids, okay, if someone has a British accent, can you understand them? Well, yeah, kind of. We say it's still English, but it's a different version of it. What you're learning is same kind of program, but it looks and acts a little different, but it's the same thing. It's just like English in England and English in America. And that helps. The reason I have all these anecdotes is that I have to do this all the time.
Yeah, that's actually that's a really good way to explain the difference to it. For someone too,
use it.
Yeah, I will.
It's funny because like I'll use a different an analogy when talking about coffee. Someone's like, "Well, you know, what's the difference between dark roast and light roast?" And I'm like, "Well, dark roast coffee is a well done steak. Light roast is like a medium, like well or whatever. You know, like
a little bit of pink. Yeah,
those are the things." And people are like, "Oh." Interesting. Okay. They have more of like an understanding of like what I'm talking about.
Rory, I have a question about Ugly Duck. A few days ago, I can't remember if it was your personal Instagram or the Ugly Duck one, you posted something that I think was like a share from another coffee shop about kind of like the taxes and tariffs that they have to pay on the coffee. And it like kind of blew my mind how expensive some of that stuff can get. Have you had like, have you been impacted by like any of the tariffs that are like going on right now?
Good question.
Yeah, absolutely. So every coffee shop has and will be affected by it. Ultimately, there's a bare minimum 10% tariff that's on all coffee that's imported, except for Mexico, I think, right now. So what you're going to see is that, say, someone that buys $100,000 worth of green coffee or imported coffee, that 10% is just going to be added on top, and that's going to be passed along to the roasters. That's going to be the roasters are going to pass that along to consumers. One of our oldest partners, Gimme Coffee, has been super transparent about it. I've been on phone calls with them, and they were like, "Hey, this is coming. We're rolling out this new pricing tier to try to reflect and do better by the folks that will be affected by it. We're going to be transitioning to a different kind of retail bag. We're going to be doing these types of things to limit the raise that we're going to have to do." So people are trying to do their best with the situation at hand, and that's where we're at. But beyond even the coffee part, so yes, the coffee part is essential to the coffee business. But I think what a lot of folks don't realize and haven't realized is that the cups and lids and everything else is also going to be tariffed, that all of that stuff is not produced in the country. So along with everything else, that is another factor. The other factor too, on top of that, is that during COVID, everything skyrocketed in price, doubled or tripled. That never went away. You know, so that is still there. That is still as high as it's been. So all of these factors are in place. And, you know, any service or hospitality restaurant space is dealing with all of this. And it's going to be tough, I think, for a little bit.
Yeah, we noticed that at the library too, that COVID, there was like a huge price increase on a lot of our, you know, goods that we need just to do business. And it's never going away. Obviously, if it would have gone away, it would have by now.
Absolutely.
So the other thing too, that I wonder is that because it's like affecting us at the library, is like competition for some of the entry level positions, like being a public sector employer, you know, like our budgets are made in some cases more than a year in advance. And we're like not as competitive with like hourly wages. I think we can be more competitive with the kind of quality of the working environment and like PTO. But I've found that since COVID, and you've had like all these labor shortages, it's like pretty crazy how quickly, you know, fast food places that were so resistant to a $15 minimum wage, you know, like 10 years ago are like now, you know, $18.75 is like the starting rate at, you know, fast food places I drive by on a regular basis.
Right.
And it just makes it so hard to compete, you know, to get some new people into some of those positions.
It's funny because, I mean, it's not funny, but like you said, the jump wasn't that hard until you really, really needed to do it. And it's just about treating folks as fair as you can. And doing your best, you know, like the best you can with what you have. And it is a hard situation, especially with everything that has gone on post COVID, and also looking at people in a way that isn't othering them when you're looking at a resume or an application, being like, okay, why did this person jump from job to job, have only be here for 2 months or 3 months and then another 3 months? I've noticed that this generation of workers post-COVID are more willing to jump to a job that fits their wants and needs as a person more than they're willing to just stick it out because it's a job. And
Yeah,
that's a
I've heard that
conversation you
too.
can have, and I love it.
Yeah.
I really don't see the longevity of a job. I think it's a conversation starter rather than a not bring you in for an interview for
I've heard
me.
that a lot too. So, and that's kind of the same thing with teaching. Like, I have been in the same place for 22 years because I'm old school and I know this is part of my way, my upbringing and my way of thinking. Like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to stick it out and it's just the way it is. Whereas I have heard what you said that there's a lot of the younger people are going to a thing that they're going to be more comfortable with and it's going to fit them, whether they're making more money or less money. It's about kind of the vibe and the fit. So it's funny you say that because that's has come up recently.
Yeah, people have a much more transactional relationship with work post-COVID. And there was like a period of time where I thought like, oh, we're gonna have like more common like working from home practices. And there was that like for a little bit, but that seems to be kind of evaporating now. But yeah, I like being an elder millennial, like a like kind of straddling the Gen X millennial divide.
The Xennial.
That's the phrase I've heard so many times. But I think that's a healthy thing. And when I like encounter older folks or even people my own age who are skeptical of that, or they think it's like a mark against someone that they've job hopped quite a bit. I just think like, no, why wouldn't you? If you can make more money doing the same thing for a different employer, like what is loyalty to your employer ultimately going to get, you?
Yeah, especially if they don't see you or respect you, like then why shouldn't it be transactional for them?
Well, for an educator perspective, I get priced out. So once I get to about halfway through, I mean, teachers get a salary increase every year. It depends on the school, it's incremental, but eventually you get to the point where no one's going to hire me because I'm too expensive. Because a new hire comes in and they can hire a new hire for half the cost that I am, then I can't really go anywhere else. So that it's very different. You have to make a jump early on, or else you got cement shoes on. So.
I'm in a similar boat myself. But one thing I did think of that I wanted to mention about like wages and labor shortages, one thing that we were able to do at the library this year that I'm really proud we were able to do is most of the employees, especially the part-time ones I'm speaking of, received like a 9 or 10% pay increase. And that was something that everyone was very supportive of, like at the town level, at the library board level, and I'm obviously in favor of, compensating people better whenever we can, although it's not exclusively up to me. But that was done because it's just getting so challenging to hire people at minimum wage. Like, I don't really see a lot of jobs out there that actually start at minimum wage right now.
People definitely need to make more money to even live in this current environment, Speaking of that, I wanted to mention a record that in the title is talks about money. The record's called When Your Money Fails, and it's by a band called Thought Partner, who happened to play last night in Rochester. Tommy Vollmer, who played drums in How We Are, plays drums in this band. And
Nice, Tommy.
it's a really great record. If you're a fan of Devo or like Hot Snakes, Drive Like Jehu stuff, this record is for you to check out. I think it's great. I bought it when it came out. The actual record looks great too, Rob. So I think you'd be a fan of that as well.
Sure. Well,
But
I'm a
I,
fan of Tommy, so I'll check it out for sure.
oh, dude, he like, yeah, it's great. So,
He's such a good drummer. Like, good drums is it's I mean, well, Greg knows he's a drummer too, but you got good snappy drums. Like, I can get behind it.
yeah,
Yeah, I thought
so.
I thought when How We Are was like kind of at its peak, Tommy was probably the best drummer in Rochester at that point.
Oh, a fantastic drummer.
Yeah, he's great.
And just watching him play, I got to go to the show last night, and watching him play was just cool. It's just cool to see someone, just do something that that they love doing, and you know seeing them in their element was just it was really cool. I haven't seen Tommy play drums in a very long time, so it was awesome to be there and see him. And you know, he lives in Boston now, so it was cool to be there for that.
That's cool.
I don't know, do either of you guys have any records or anything you've been listening to or thinking of lately?
Yeah, so I want to like speak to just a couple like regional bands that
Yeah.
I've been into that have recent records out. One would be Rochester's own Debatably Stable, Fake Ideas for Unhappy People. I have like an affinity for Debatably Stable. A couple of the guys from that band live in or grew up in the small town that my wife Anne grew up in. And I just kind of like love that they're from, you know, Honeyoye, New York, which now has produced like two hardcore punk adjacent bands with Nobody Cares, Roses Are Red and Debatably Stable.
Which Skylar from Who Decides is also from Honeyoye.
Oh, really?
I think that's
Yeah.
Honeyoye
He's
Falls.
from Honeyoye
Yeah,
Falls.
Honeyoye
That's
Falls.
okay.
Are they two different things?
They're
I'm
two different
sorry.
things. No,
Oh
yeah.
my
Oh,
goodness. Yeah.
they get super. Oh yeah.
They
Uh-oh.
Is
Do.
this like
Oh
East
boy.
West Runaquaint kind of stuff?
Well, the other funny thing is they're very nearby. They're not near each other. It's like maybe 20 minutes, half an hour
Oh
away.
wow.
Yeah, the people
Yeah.
get
My
fired up.
Rochester geography is off. Sorry, guys.
Well, it's both Honeyoye. It's not like you're that far off, but he's right. They
It's
get
not like
fired up.
Village of Fairport and Town of Parrington beef.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking about that. I don't think I've ever like I don't live in the Village of Fairport. I didn't grow up in the Village of Fair, but I like never was like I'm from Parrington. Like I was always like, I wasn't from Fairport. Now it's even more confusing because I live in Parrington, but my kid goes to East Rochester. You know, I'm like, where does that put me? But the other thing that local regional that I've been jamming lately is Do Crime.
Oh, right on,
Yeah,
yes.
they've got a new EP caught up, and that's like Debatably Stable is not something necessarily that I think I would be into or I would have thought I'd have been into, but Do Crime is very very much kind of a subgenre of hardcore that I love. The melodic, you can hear influences of you know like Kid Dynamite in there. You can also hear influences of that like the Descendants, which also show up I think in some of their merch. They've had
Absolutely.
like a Descendants parody, which is always a smart move. So I definitely want to shout out those like two regional bands that have things that have come out, I think within the last like month. But other than that, I've been rocking Age of Apocalypse and Iron Mind. They both had things come out, I think, this month or within the last maybe like 6 weeks. And that's like just kind of more meathead gym music, which
Do you
is
think
like.
Age of would you put Age of Apocalypse into that?
I mean, kind of. I mean, I listen to it at the gym, so it gets me in that
Mode.
yeah, it gets me in the right mood for that. So
I just wouldn't. I guess like you know, listening to
don't
it, I'm
feel
like
bad. I got a ton of bands like that, Greg.
I wouldn't put it there. But yeah, I mean, I guess so. You know, like we're all there sometime. I, you know, speaking on the regional thing too, Torrent, a local Rochester band, just put out a two song new. If you want to call it a sampler or demonstration, I don't know, but they're the best songs they've done so far. And I would encourage anyone to check that out. Torrent 585 on Bandcamp, I think, is the way to check that out. Young Rochester guys doing it. I think it's like despair. Meets like Earth Crisis with a little Rochester in there. I think it's
Yeah,
cool.
cool.
The Level Up Coffee podcast is now dialed in.
We love coffee and stay connected to every development in the industry, both here in Rochester and worldwide, to bring you our unique perspective on the ever-changing world of coffee.
We're doing regular tastings, reporting on our travels, and trying to hold back tirades about the forces that make the coffee supply chain a neo-colonial mess. Join us on the Lunchador Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts and stay
dialed in.
Did you have some, Rob? I saw you digging. You had some records there.
Yeah,
I
I
saw
got a
you.
lot.
I do too. I actually pulled out like a bunch of like eight records that I've been listening
I
to.
do
So
well, I narrowed it down. But I have some. Do you want me to go now?
don't throw one in there. Let's go.
Okay. First one, our co-host, don't laugh, but first record I've been listening to a lot is the new Coming Down record, which is so catchy. So these songs get stuck in my head for days. So I'll be walking around just doing something random, and I got and it's in my head for the rest of the day. Super catchy. Coming Down. What's the name of your album? Curve?
Yep.
Fantastic.
Yep. Hex yeah, Records,
so
man.
Check out. Yeah. Yep. Hex put that out. Our buddy Hex. Like, you want good, catchy, fun. I mean, closest thing I've always compared it to for people is Fugazi. I don't like making comparisons because it doesn't sound like that, but when you're on a podcast and you're not actually playing the music, I like to give kind of a frame of reference like you guys were doing a little bit as well. You want me to keep going?
Yeah. What else you got?
Have you heard of this? It's a podcast, but they can't see it. So there's this local guy from Syracuse. Okay. His name is Post Malone. Have you heard of him? He put out, this is from Record Store Day. He put out an album of all Nirvana covers.
Oh shit.
With him and what's his name? The Blink 182 drummer. The Kardashian,
Travis Barker, yeah.
Travis Barker.
Yeah.
So they put out an album of all Nirvana covers. Which I didn't listen to.
I remember seeing like some video of him doing that during COVID.
That was it. It's that.
Was right on. Cool. Yes, yeah, that was cool. That. I was so surprised on how he sounded. Like I was like, wow.
It's excellent.
This, you know, this sounds cool.
And I couldn't go to Record Store Day, so shout out to Todd Stahl for picking that up for me. So he grabbed it. And people were not happy that he grabbed two copies, but I appreciate it. Shout out
to Todd. Saw him yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
Next one is, you guys maybe have this one. This is the Turnstile record, which I love. I think I'm holding it upside down, but this Turnstile record is great. My son really likes them a lot. It's kind of cool that I can bond with a hardcore band with my son.
That does not surprise me at all. And you know what I really love? That whole rollout of that record is really fantastic.
I can't wait to see the movie. Max said he saw it and it was really good. I can't. And those, I got to give context here. The teacher in me is screaming, tell people what you're talking about. Turnstile came out with a full-length movie, it's like videos for every single song that's stitched together in one long movie. Greg, have you heard about that?
Yeah.
That's, I think you can't escape it, I don't think, at this point. I mean, they're like one of the biggest guitar bands around right
now. Yeah.
Yes. They're very impressive.
So cool.
Well, and I appreciate that they're doing creative stuff like that instead of just like, you know, kind of cashing in on the success, because that's the kind of thing that, like, I feel like if I was in a band that came into a lot of success and we had a lot of money and ability and free time to do that, that would be like what I would want to do. Like, and I kind of equate it to like what the Beastie Boys would do. Like, you know, they would get so conceptual, like,
yep.
Like, and it, and that to me, like that element of the Beastie Boys, like you could say otherwise, I don't care. I'll argue with you. I won't believe you. But like that comes from like hardcore punk, like that kind of like creativity, like all of the stuff that MCA would do with that, like Nathaniel Hornblower and the performance art of it, like that. Up. Yeah.
Dude, those are the movie awards.
Beastie Boys are amazing. I mean, they did most of their own videos. All the samples, I think on one Five Boroughs, I think they credited all these different artists, but it was them. It was them. They made all the samples. Like Beastie Boys were just like crazy creatives. And I just love, oh man, like I can go on, but
They make me so proud to have like spent so much time in hardcore and punk. Like that is like hardcore punk's gift to the world is the Beastie Boys.
I mean, there's video of, I think MCA playing with the Cro-Mags on.
Yeah.
They were just there. They were part of it.
And at the height of their career, they came out with their hardcore record where they're just playing like those songs. I mean, they're reminiscent of like Minor Threat. Like it's great stuff.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Bad Brains is all over there. Yeah. I mean, yes. 100%.
My wife and I, my kids are getting into Beastie Boys. They really like Hello Nasty.
Oh, great record.
But like we were talking about that album and how I think it was in like maybe 2003-ish. They toured as a hardcore punk band.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a video of them just like playing in somebody's living room, and they like booked the tour under the like fake name, not as like Beastie Boys performing hardcore punk songs. And like, what a fucking special treat for the people who like showed up at that. I wish I could be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think honestly, the Beastie Boys comparison to Turnstile is spot on at this moment.
Yeah.
You know, I think creatively
a little bit of Rage Against the Machine.
You know, I think just as like an entity of like D DNA of how to operate as a as an artistic band. I think they're similar, so similar. You know, it's really cool to see.
We got tickets. I think the show is in September in Buffalo.
Oh, right on. Yeah. I saw that they announced.
Should
those.
Be fun.
It's awesome. You and Bennett going?
Yes.
That's awesome. Yep,
that's my son. Question before I talk about the next record. Are either of you fans of Tool?
Not so much.
Kind of.
I'm an appreciator of Tool. Specifically the drumming is like some of the best drumming in like extreme music that there is. But perfect. I feel like when I put it on, I'm comparing myself in a way where I leave feeling like I didn't do enough with my life.
Well, this next band, to me, kind of fills in. It's kind of for people who are the fans of Tool, who are like the soaring vocals and the really incredible drumming. You got to check out this drumming. They're called Sleep Token.
Okay.
And they're blowing up. This new album's called Even in Arcadia. They have a lot of like longer atmospheric, kind of like Pink Floyd. I guess Tool does it too, where they'll like drone and they'll just be singing for a long time. Then the drums come in. Look the guy up, Greg, on Instagram. His name is just two, like I. And if you look up Sleep Token and watch him play, he is an absolutely incredible drummer. The band that's my closest comparison is Tool. I'm almost done. This next one is, it has been an obsession with mine for the last 2 years. It's Jason Isbell. Jason Isbell is the last thing you would ever expect me to listen to. It is like, it's Americana music. And I shout out to Brian Van Etten for really getting me into this guy. I am obsessed. Anytime he is near, I go and I see him play. I know every song. I've bought every record. And this guy, he's a Southern Americana guitar player from Alabama. The guy played the Democratic National Convention. He's a smart guy. I'll just leave it there. Love Jason Isbell. Have either of you heard of, I only have two left. Have either of you heard of Zach Sabbath?
I've heard, but I haven't listened.
So one of my favorite guitar players ever is Zach Wilde. Okay, he's the guy, he's filling in
Black
Pantera
Label Society,
right?
Right?
He did Black Label Society. Yeah. Well, he was in Ozzy Osbourne for No More Tears, like really, really good guitar player. He has a cover band where he sings and plays all the guitar stuff of all the Black Sabbath songs. It is incredible. So there's two records out, and all they are is just, it's him singing and playing covers of Black Sabbath. And don't get me wrong, I love Black Sabbath, but hearing an updated version with the guitar style that still fits so well with Ozzy's voice, because he's the guitar player for Ozzy's solo band, it is really cool. It's on any streaming services. Check it out. If you're a fan of Sabbath, you're a fan of Ozzy solo, you might like it. Last but not least, kind of a plug, but not really. Hex just put out a 25-year comp with all just different bands that he's worked with. And Hex and I did a song together for kind of our little project we did during COVID called Headless Horse. And we did a Sick of It All cover. So if you haven't checked that out, Hex is a great guy, great record label. You can even stream it. If you don't want to buy the vinyl, you can check it out on Bandcamp. So I figured I'd end with a little bit of a plug. So that's it. I'm
love
done.
That.
There was more, but that's the narrowed down list.
No, so, you're good, man. I think it's great. You know,
I appreciate you letting me participate in that.
The range. I mean, speaking of Hex, I pre-ordered the Wipes Don't Tell My Parents record he just put out.
Nice.
And it's, if you like that noise rocky, Wall of Soundy vibe, it's definitely up your alley. I am a fan, and I always just love supporting my friends as well. So when those two things line up, it's great.
And he has a new zine. He just put out another
physical another, zine.
I guess it's hanging, physical, hanging like Hex.
Yeah.
So Greg, do you ever get any of those? I'm not sure.
Oh yeah, I have a bunch of them. I have a bunch of them going back. I think the first one I bought was that one that came with the compilation 7-inch with that Every Time I Die song that you couldn't get anywhere else.
It's
I still have a bunch of those. Yeah. I'm ashamed to say at the peak of probably what was their success. I sold that and the demo cassette that I bought at the Claw at Eli Fagan for some insane amount of money on eBay. It was just like, hey. I'm not like anti ETID, like they're all right, you know, but they're not, you know, my favorite band of all time. And it was just too much money. I'm not made of stone.
Someone else appreciated it.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Well, I have that 7-inch. Maybe I should sell it. I don't know.
I don't know if it's still going as hot as it once was. I feel like the stars faded a little.
I mean, hotter than what you bought it for, Rob. That's for sure. Okay. That's for sure. Another record that I picked up recently is the new Young Widows record, Power Sucker.
Nice. Haven't heard it yet.
It's great. I mean, if you like Young Widows...
I love that band. I love those guys.
You won't be disappointed. I mean, just creative, artistic punk dudes still doing it. And Rich Hall did the cover art. The cover art's cool. You know, those guys always know how to put something really cool together. And it's really neat just to see folks just still being creative and putting out music after all these years.
Love
it. And that's great. I honestly, Rob, I don't know if you've checked this out yet, but I pre-ordered, but hasn't come out yet, but the new Dead Guy record, fantastic.
I've listened to the songs that are up online. I'm very impressed.
Oh my goodness. It sounds like they never stopped
playing.
Yeah,
they picked up right where they left off.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's called Near Death Travel Services. And so, yeah, I think Relapse is putting that out. So, you know, if folks like fucking angular, angry, off the wall, you're I mean, just there's no one like them. There's a lot of imitators, but no one like them, and they're still coming at it, and it's awesome.
Speaking of videos, their video was really, really good. It's kind of funny too. They've always had a good sense of humor,
but that's part of it, right?
Yeah, if you haven't, you two, and if you're listening, check out their video for the song. It's great.
Yeah, that great band. So yeah, I'm excited to hear that in complete format. I don't know. I mean, I have a bunch more not so recent ones. Spirit Killer's record is on my list.
I was actually just going to chime in. I didn't mention that one, but that's a phenomenal one too.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a fan, I make this comparison. I'm like, if you liked Snapcase, then you should check this record out, because just the songwriting and the grooviness of it just connects. And I think it's just really cool. And live, it's even better, in my opinion.
They're one of my favorite active bands that's like relatively still newer at this point. You know, musically, they're all very talented, but then lyrically, they're also kind of where I'm at in my life right now.
I'm psyched that I got to see them more recently, and I got this record. I'm stoked.
It's another one I'll plug too that I've been listening to. Statement of Pride has a new single out. And so they're like, are they a South Florida band, or are they, I can't remember where they're from, but they kind of mesh well with that kind of South Florida, you know, metalcore adjacent hardcore sound that seems to be coming out of that state right now. Check that out too.
Yeah, I've liked the stuff in the past, so I'm excited to check out that new single. A couple other records that I've been listening to are excited about, but they're not super new. The No Man Glitter and Spit record. If you haven't checked that out. Iodine Records put it out, but it's just furious. You know, it has that feeling of someone's just releasing so much anger, and it's in a healthy way. And it's pummeling and creative. If you haven't checked them out, I would definitely encourage that. And another record that is similar, but more in an emotional release, in my opinion, is also on Iodine Records, is a Love Letter. Put out a record last year, and it's called Everyone Wants Something Beautiful. And if you liked some defeater stuff and you liked Verse, this is like a spot where you should check out. Emotionally driven and pretty honest stuff, and I think it's worth checking out if you're into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's also that Bane re-release that is of the EP that has some of my favorite Bane songs on it. But I don't really know that that's, I wasn't going to mention that because it's not really like new, but it's out there now. But that jogs my memory. And I feel like I talked about this with Adam, and maybe I've talked about this with you, Rory, is the remaster of It All Comes Down to This. Mm, have you listened to that at all? It sounds like a totally different album. Like it sounds more like all the other Bane albums and fits with what they're doing. And I kind of, part of me wishes that this EP got a little bit of that treatment, but still it's great to see that is available on streaming services, because I've had that physical release, but you know, when I'm in the car, which is pretty much the only place I can listen to music, or at the gym at this point, I'm not bringing my Discman with me, or side loading it onto my iPod Shuffle, which I no longer have.
Hey, you know, I will say that It All Comes Down to This record, it sounds cool and it's great, but a part of me still listens to the other version, maybe just because I was there when it came out, and I have so many like feelings on it that connected to like the not great recording that it is.
Yeah.
It kind of almost is reminiscent to like Chokehold's Content With Dying, where it's like, this is terribly recorded, but somehow I still like this record. But I do really appreciate it. And I, you know, some of my favorite Bane songs are on that LP, which is.
Yeah. And I feel like, cause they didn't get like, I know they weren't happy with the recording. They've like said as much.
Oh, yeah, not at all. Yeah.
But like, there are some awesome songs on there that like they didn't, I don't think they wound up playing live quite as much because I think they were probably unhappy with it or something, but like Struck Down by Me.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. It's such a good one. And the re-recording of it is like, they did a re-recording of Struck Down by Me with Bob Mahoney, the drummer.
Really?
And that one, it's on YouTube.
Was that on a record?
That one, the original recording was on It All Comes Down to This. I think it was
the re-recording.
I think it was on a compilation. I think it was on a vinyl comp.
Was it on American Hardcore comp or something?
Yes, that's what it was on. Yeah. That's what it was on. But the re-recording of it is like so much harder. It's like you could dance pretty hard to that. It's like beat down adjacent now. Place in the Sun are some of like my favorite lyrics out of Bane. Connect thematically really well with Calling Hours, which is probably my ultimate all-time favorite Bane song. So
yeah. Oh man, yeah. I just thinking about Struck Down by Me just like giving me goosebumps, but yeah. great song, man. It's really cool to like we've said before, is like hardcore and punk it continues to drive and connect and be varied. And it's cool that these bands and us are inspired by this music, but also the reason why the music exists and the ability to express ourselves authentically and creatively. It eeps its way into all these things that we're doing. Like Billy Strings is wearing like hardcore and punk, you know, like t-shirts and stuff. And not that it's like, we need that validation, but it's cool that it's like, they're influenced recognized by it. Yeah. And recognize they're influenced by it. Yeah. It's there regardless whether or not it needs to be. It's just, it has its place.
Well, even like, I don't know if you've seen that TV show, The Bear with Manny Matheson, like that, you can see, like, obviously he's a known personality and he's like way out there. And even before The Bear was like a social media kind of phenomena. But I just like love how it like shows up. I think he wears like a Harm's Way shirt maybe in season one or two. And I like knowing that there's like also people out there living their lives, and you can kind of like see it start to like pop into like mainstream culture every once in a while.
Do you know where he's from, Greg?
What's that?
He's from right across the
yeah.
water.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He,
no.
He used to go to Buffalo hardcore shows when I lived there. I don't know him, but yeah. he would go and watch shows in Buffalo. And, yeah, he's a hardcore kid that's a chef and now a famous actor. And now a singer of a hardcore band, too.
I know. On the Hard Lore podcast, I think it was, he talked about going to a show in Rochester, which...
It was the Every Time I Die show, that like the one of the Josh shows or whatever.
Yeah, one of the Stash Fest shows is kind of what we surmised. Yeah.
Building on Fire played that. That's funny.
Yeah.
It was Hope Conspiracy, Carry On, Every Time I Die, Building on Fire. Who else played that?
Yeah.
It was like... Of the time, it was like... Thursday. Yeah. It was like just crazy.
And then the other day, I think of that year was Shai Hulud and some of those other bands too.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. He does a great video on garbage plates where he like makes a garbage plate. And I was like pretty close to wanting to sample him ranting about how great Rochester is. Like as far as like food scenes go or so, I don't know what it was exactly, but it is cool. It's cool.
I've made a lot of the stuff that he does on his YouTube channel, but the funny thing with the videos is it's very much like edited like Tim and Eric or like an Adult Swim style show.
Yeah, yeah.
It is so funny. I love watching it. It's not even in the ballpark of healthy, and most of it is all like, you know, meat. So half of the stuff you two probably won't eat anyways, but it's like, he's hilarious. I haven't eaten his food, but based on the way it looks awesome. So
no, he's a very positive dude and he's like puts it out there that he's like in recovery and like he's like I think a good ambassador for hardcore in the mainstream.
Just honestly, even in not even just hardcore and punk, but like authentically being I guess I would put him as an entrepreneur, but just being a business person that doesn't have to look a certain way. You know, I really love that he's just like, he is who he is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from what I can tell, I've never met him, but it just seems like if you went up to him, like, yo, man, like, I dig what you're doing, he would be generally like, oh, cool. Thank you so much. Like, that's rad, you know? So
I can see that.
I respect that.
Common Thread is co-hosted by Greg Benoit and Rory Van Grohl with creative support from Rob Antonucci. Follow us on Instagram at Common Thread HXC Podcast for news and updates. Contact us at commonthreadhxcpodcast@gmail.com. Common Thread is a part of the Lunchador Podcast Network. Visit lunchador.org for more information on other great podcasts.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.